You're listening to the Art Problems Podcast, episode 51. I'm your host, Patty Johnson. This is the podcast where we talk about how to get more shows, grants, and residencies. And on this podcast, I'm going to be discussing my recent trip to Los Angeles for the art fairs there. This happened last week. But I also wanted to seed a larger question, which developed as I visited and talked to people at the fairs, which is, is the economic center of the art world shifting to LA? So I want to explain how this question started to formulate, and then I'll do a deeper dive into the fairs themselves in terms of character trends and notable works. So I'm going to walk you through basically my experience as I was in LA. So the first fair that I visited in LA was Spring Break. Spring Break is probably best known as the fair most friendly to artists without gallery representation. They use a curatorial model, meaning you apply with work under a theme the fair organizers choose for the fair as a whole. You work with a curator, which usually means you're working with another artist, and you propose a booth, often consisting of two or more artists. Not always, but that tends to be the way. This year, for the first time, the fair included spotlights. These were solo booths for artists selected by the fair organizers. And the cost of the booth typically runs in the hundreds of dollars rather than the tens of thousands that other fairs charge. So that makes it a lot more accessible. And Spring Break makes additional funds by taking a percentage of your sales. The vast majority of LA-based artists that I met at that fair were New York transplants, those who had been in LA for a little while and spoke about how much bigger the scene was 10 years prior. Most discussed the need for more affordable space and better weather as a reason for moving. Now, I just want to say here, obviously, this move has been going on for some time, but the sheer volume of New York transplants, at least for me, seemed very remarkable because I don't even know if I spoke to anybody who wasn't a New York transplant who was an artist, right? So the next day I went to the Freeze Art Fair and the Felix Art Fair. Freeze, which is the largest fair of the three I saw in LA and attracts the wealthiest collectors and the most expensive art, felt alive and full of energy, whereas Felix, the fair for the middle market, felt more subdued by contrast. Now, I was feeling pretty under the weather when I went to see both. So most of my conversations about the event happened the following day when I went gallery hopping and met up with artists inside Network later that day. Many artists at the Network event at Middle Room Gallery had come directly from Freeze, where they told me the crowds were so thick they could barely move. So that's a pretty well-attended fair. Prior to having talked to anyone, I will say I came out of Freeze assuming that the market was flat. Everyone brought painting, which is what you do in a cooler market because it sells better than any other medium. And also, and this is really important, the New York dealers I had been talking to earlier that week were still complaining about the market being really flat. So that's where I was getting that idea. But, you know, the frenzied activity, that's sort of the likes of Saturday's crowds, that stuff doesn't really occur outside of sales. And ArtNet did report that sales were quite brisk, even for some of the emerging markets. So 5 years ago, you know, all of the LA-based fairs had been short-lived without much of a collector's market to support them. And that seems to, you know, it's really changed. And I think that's sort of behind some of the energy and enthusiasm there. And this, I want to say, like, Freeze and just how much excitement there was around Freeze, this stands in contrast to Freeze New York, which is having troubles. After 3 days in LA, I concluded that if you live there and you work in the arts, you really couldn't afford to skip Freeze, right? It was that big of a deal. Last year, I decided not to attend Freeze New York anymore because I thought it was too expensive. I found their location at the Shed, which is a nonprofit and supposed to be accessible to the public, very offensive because having a for-profit fair that you can only enter if you pay hundreds of dollars is not exactly what I would call publicly accessible. So I found that really depressing. And it wasn't like I was doing networking there that I couldn't do anywhere else. And I know I wasn't the only one who felt that way. So I felt like I could skip it. And I knew a lot of people were doing that. And the reason that this is significant is that Frieze is one of the largest art fairs in the world. And Frieze doesn't do well in New York, but it does do well in LA. Well, that could signal an issue for New York. And what I don't know is how many New York-based collectors are flying to LA to purchase work that they could also get in New York City, because that would be a big tell. But I can tell you that I'm going there because I can see the need for what I do. And I'm sure if I'm doing that, that there are other people who are doing that too, including collectors. Meanwhile, over at Felix, I spoke with Allegra Laviola of Sargent's Daughters, who said that she should take a large booth, which she did, now that she has an outpost in LA as well, because she is based She's initially based and founded in New York. So now she has two locations. Even mid-sized galleries now have locations on both coasts. So all of these factors combined make me feel like the economic center may be shifting to the West. And, you know, if you're wondering why this is happening, I think like, once I sort of spell out the reasons that I think anyway, it'll be very obvious, right? So the real estate is cheaper, fabrication costs are lower, and there's a lot more space, right? And all of these things are conditions that are needed for art. Felix did less well than Frieze. Unlike the year prior, I will say there were no lines to get into the room. For those who haven't been but are maybe more familiar with New York's independent art fair, it's sort of a very similar lineup of middle market galleries that, like, only instead of showing in this kind of glimmering white space in New York, they take over the historic Roosevelt Hotel. And it's kind of a dingy space, but some of the hotel rooms have bars in them, which I think is kind of fun. And it lends the work a kind of weird and interesting quality that I do think benefits it in a very different way than this white space that sometimes can be almost too sterile in New York. Now, I want to note here that the publishing industry is so hollowed out that there's almost no market reporting on Felix sales. The art newspaper reported slow sales, and the LA Times ran a piece quoting the fair director saying that several booths had sold out, but didn't name them. And I want to point out here that my job is not that of a journalist first. Like, I'm an art coach who's going out there to do research basically for the artists that I work for, you know, and I traveled so that I would be able to better advise them. But if it's just me and a couple of reporters getting that information, I think we've got some problems here. Now, I also want to say that there was a similar kind of low energy for spring break. I love the event as a fair for artists. And the back end of that fair had a lot of great booths. Like, a lot of the work struck me as something that I might see at NADA Miami in terms of quirkiness and style, but it was very sparsely attended. And when I spoke to the artists who had attended the opening, they told me that very few people came out. And that makes me really sad because there's plenty of good work at the fair. They were the only fair to host an artwork that consisted of an AI tarot reader that tapped into your emails to produce readings. Although I will say that I didn't meet anyone who actually got a reading, and I didn't either because the artist wasn't in attendance when anybody I knew was there. So that was a sort of unfortunate occurrence. The point here, though, is that there's no reason not to attend Spring Break or Felix. Or, you know, there's a lot of great art there and a lot of great artists to talk to. So I think, you know, one question that I had is like, well, why aren't people there? You know, the same phenomenon for Spring Break anyway occurred in New York this fall, which I chalked up to sort of having exhausted a location. They'd been in the same office space for 4 years and had been run down in its appearance. And it just wasn't really working anymore. But it's a little unclear why they were having the same turnout issue that was happening in LA. Here's what I will say. I'm not convinced that low attendance in either Felix or Spring Break LA can be chalked up to location or the quality of the art. You know, I don't really have any definitive answers, but to speculate, I'd wager that despite reports of an energized crowd at Freeze, the market is soft, particularly in emerging and middle markets. And that's showing up even in an environment that people are excited about. And, you know, I would say that it's probably more visible at the emerging end of things, where collectors who are experiencing fair fatigue, which many collectors are, they're just not making it out to the secondary fairs in the same way that they used to. So a combination of these factors are really having an impact on some of these fairs. Okay, last but certainly not least, let's talk about the art. So standout booths at Spring Break. Fred Fleischer curated a booth of Don Porcello crudely rendered sculptures made of wired mesh and colored pipe cleaners. So the colored pipe cleaners created this kind of fur and clothing and all the rest in these figures. So in one arrangement of sculptures, you saw a man in a suit with a baseball cap standing behind a deer carrying a glittery mouse on its back. The mouse and a couple of logs surround a slightly smaller than life-size figure. Now, another sort of arrangement, it's a Charles Ray-like constellation of family members, a tall woman with a club, a short man, and then a giant head with an unfurled tongue. And they all sit on this astroturf. And one of the qualities that I really liked about this work is how like the mouths are open, kind of revealing the structure of the work, how it's made, right? They're hollow. I kind of like that in a time when we seek out authenticity and realness, a quality that seems more elusive than ever, even the most honest rendering of materials reveals a hollowness inside. So even if you do deliver authenticity and realness, there's still something missing. And, you know, I want to say that I doubt that the artist had my interpretation in mind when he was making the work, but I'm sure that at least some of it would hold water with Porcello. Also worth mentioning is an exhibition, and I'm going to say this wrong, Venice Abiertas, which is an exhibition of photographic portraits by Rachel Anianci Mosman Solano. Probably said those names wrong too. My apologies. So in these works, female models wearing turn-of-the-century clothing or alternatively nudes posed with like cardboard cutouts of cacti and logs are arranged in photographs. In this environment, I read the images as kind of stage-like, referring to Hollywood and the colonization of the West. Molnar, Cheryl Molnar, who's a curator, wrote that Mosman sets the stage for a psychological play featuring the cast of characters from our life to reflect on the emotional inheritance handed down from the impacts of colonization and white supremacy in Panama. So I feel like I wasn't too far off on that interpretation. Honestly, you know, there's a little too much to go through for everything. So quickly, I just want to mention some other highlights. Fabiola Gironi's colorful, and I've said her name wrong too, my apologies, colorful painted still lifes, Mary Henderson's jewel-like figurative paintings, and the dyed rubber boots marking evaporating water by Michael Hanley and curated by Jack Henry. They each stood out for their considered approach to craft. And overall, you know, I think in terms of trends, we're seeing far less ceramics, photography, and sculpture at the fair, which is why a space like Spring Break is so important. The artists here showed in a variety of mediums. And I think the higher up the food chain you get in the world of commerce, the less variation of medium there is. Collectors really aren't that adventurous. But, you know, if you spend all day painting and that's your job, you're going to get pretty good at it. So at Frieze, Victoria Miro showed a new body of figurative works by Hernan Bosch, someone I've noted in the past who has just grown tremendously as a painter. And in this booth, he was presenting a series of subtly erotic young gay boys that just like line one wall. But the most striking work was this huge portrait of a young man in a suit behind a birthday cake ablaze with a million candles. And, you know, I guess youth springs eternal, as they say. Also, Jordan Castile's paintings at Casey Kaplan. Frankly, the growth of her as a painter just and the range of her painterly applications is just astonishing. In one still life, she leaves like nearly half the canvas untouched, just beautifully spare. This was just a still life of flowers. In another much more worked over piece, a figurative piece of family standing in a garden, the individual marks making up this straw hat worn by a mother posing with her husband and child. It just feels so considered and really like beautifully rendered. So just a joy to look at. And at Felix, you know, I really like these like weird alien figures of Michael Kirkham at Harkowick Gallery. These were paintings and they stood out for their bizarre proportions and striking color palette. Like one was a very sort of bright in color with whites and oranges, while another one stood out for its like nighttime palettes of blues and blacks. Also, Kavi Gupta's exhibition, including a hugely diverse range of artists, including Theaster Gates, Manish Nah, Mayo Ando, and more. Like they gave the fair a well-needed jolt from whiteness. I will admit, for a weakness to all work by Jose Lerma, whose textured figurative collage sat tucked away in Gupta's booth in the bathroom. And I just want to offer here in full disclosure that this may have something to do with the fact that he lived a few doors down from me when I was in my 20s. And honestly, some of the best conversations I've ever had about art were with him, about his own art and with that of others. He's one of the most intelligent artists I've ever met, and I've learned so much from him. So I always recommend that if you can take a look at his work, like you're always going to gain something from it. Probably the biggest trend this year that I noticed was like heavily patterned or detailed paintings that look like they were inspired by like rug design. And these paintings were everywhere. So I just named a couple of artists, and I'm going to say these names wrong, but Addy Rodriguez Lopez at Proyecto Monoclava, Laura Owens at Matthew Marks, Jeff Perone at Corbett versus Dempsey, to name, you know, three of hundreds. Like there were so many of this particular genre. And I want to say, you know, I feel like I'm particularly susceptible to trends. Whatever flavor of the month we're at, I'm usually buying it. Like I really like trends. And I suspect, honestly, that most of us are like that. But it's worth pointing them out because trends are a little bit more fleeting than our hard and fast interests. And we want to be able to discern between the two because we want to be able to recognize the difference between our taste and what's hot at any given moment. It helps us make better art. And if you're a collector, it helps you make better buying decisions. Okay, well, that's it for the podcast this week. Whether or not you attended the art fairs, I hope that this gives you a better sense of the landscape, at least as I see it. And if you have thoughts on what's happening in LA and you have more experience or different experience than me, I always want to hear it. So let me know on Instagram and I'll see you back here next week.
Thank you for listening. If you like the show, please leave a review and share it with a friend. It really helps get that valuable information out to more artists just like you. You can find all of the names and the links that we reference in this conversation at workshop.art/podcast.